the king who ate himself to death. And it ain't Elvis. I'm Kevin Leeson.
Glass, a sometimes food. I'm Chris Stewart.
I'm Joe Fulton.
Cockatrice, it's what's for dinner. I'm Torrin Atkinson. Today on Caustic Soda.
Bam!
Gluttony.
Is it time, Kevin? Is it time?
It's time,
Tell
Torn.
Me it's time.
Time for some sins?
I do love my sinning.
How many?
Seven.
Deadly?
Sins. They wouldn't be Caustic Soda if they weren't deadly.
So we're doing a seven-part series on the deadly sins.
Yeah, you know, the classic deadly sins, the seven.
What are the new ones? I'm confused.
File sharing.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook stalking.
Spam. That one should be deadly. Spam should be a new deadly sin.
Not to be confused with the seven capital sins.
Yeah.
And, seven deadly sins.
And
what are the seven capital sins?
I'm just making that up.
Oh, okay.
It was a joke.
That's a funny joke.
So, thanks, guys.
Should we list the seven deadly sins?
Gluttony.
Oh, that's a good one. Greed.
My favorite, lust.
Wrath.
That's it. It's four, right?
They call it seven, but there's only four.
No, envy.
Oh, yeah. Pride.
Sloth.
Oh, yeah.
Sloth's another favorite of mine.
Yeah, sloth is my...
It's hard to do sloth and lust at the same time, but I can manage it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's called porno on the internet.
That's right. Masturbation. And, you know, sometimes pride.
That's true.
At the end, I'm like, God damn.
Or afterwards, maybe lack of pride.
I am really good at that. That is... Can I put that on my resume?
My mom always said, pick one thing and do it well.
Yeah.
What else can we say about the list as a whole before we get into specifics?
The movie Seven will probably play a major role.
Yeah. That's true.
In every single episode. So I suggest that we speak only to the part of the movie that dealt with the one sin that we did.
Yes.
Correct.
That day.
So right now we can talk about it overall.
I loved it.
Yeah, great movie.
It's one of the handful of films that, one of the best films that I cannot recommend to anybody.
Why can't you recommend it to anybody?
Because it's so disturbing.
Oh.
I mean, I watched it and I thought to myself, that was awesome, but I never need to watch it again.
I did have to watch it again because I forgot what happened in it. And
oh, so you watched, it in like anticipation?
Last week. Yeah.
Oh, God. Torn,
you have to invite us over for that.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, guys.
Go to hell.
Let's watch this movie together.
Yeah.
Oh, Stewie's here for at least some of these podcasts.
Oh, okay, good. Hi. I agree. Seven is not a feel-good movie in any way,
no.
shape,
it's
or form.
It's not a date movie?
I was at West Edmonton Mall when it came out, sitting at a bench or something. I took out my wallet. I had just pulled out like $100. And this was I was in university, so $100 is might as well be a million. Pulled $100 out of a bank machine, put it in my wallet, set the wallet down, got up, walked maybe 25 feet away, came back, wallet was gone. And the lost and found, like one of the info desks, was 12 feet the other direction. So I walk over and say, did anybody turn in a wallet? Oh, yeah, it's right here. Empty of the $100. So in the space of 30 seconds, my wallet was lost, found, and completely money was gone. And I was pissed. So I said, I'm going to just go away, do what I love to do when I'm angry, and go watch a movie. And I decided, I'll go watch Seven. And it did not make me feel better at all. I did forget about my wallet, though. So
it might not be a good date movie, but it's a good movie to remind you that you love your wife.
You know what it was for me? It was the first movie that I saw that I thought to myself, huh, you know, Brad Pitt might actually be a good actor. And that was the first time that I'd ever seen Kevin Spacey in a role that I remembered him as Kevin Spacey instead of just that guy that looked like that guy.
Which came up first? Was it that or Usual Suspects, though?
I think Usual Suspects came out first. Or it's the same year. Some very, very
probably
close
was.
In proximity to one another.
So usually, so same year. So yeah, that 95 was really his breakout year.
I remember just getting to the end and being stunned, and then they roll the credits the wrong way.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I'm just,
It was a mind bender.
We always say, oh man, why can't they make a movie where, spoiler alert, plug your ears for 10 seconds, where the bad guy wins.
Right.
And this is one where that happens.
Yeah, it's sort of a Pyrrhic victory. Well, I guess that's what he was going
for.
That's
exactly what he wanted, though.
Yeah, it is exactly what he wanted, but...
Just like in episode one of Star Wars.
It's hard to call it a win.
It's something people don't realize about episode one of Star Wars. Bad guy wins. There's a big celebration at the end, but he got exactly what he wanted. That's the part of writing that George Lucas can get right. That overall...
Yeah, but he hasn't done it.
The method of telling it, he's terrible at.
He hasn't done that way since.
Well, you should still go to toyhut.com, get Star Wars toys.
George Lucas won't be there.
Yeah, no. In research,
as long as Lucas isn't involved, Star Wars is great.
In researching the Seven Deadly Sins, I found a painting by Hieronymus Bosch.
Oh, I love Hieronymus Bosch.
Called the he makes great dishwashers and washer dryers. It called the Seven Deadly Sins and Four Last Things. And I don't know why I gravitated towards it because the Four Last Things kind of caught my attention, which is just basically if you do these seven deadly things, you will burn in hell.
In four delicious ways.
Yeah, three of the four last things are you basically being punished, and one of them is... Oh, no, sorry.
One of them's heaven.
Two are being punished, and two are being glorified. It's very interesting because it's one of those 15th century paintings that they always have like a dog at your feet or a bird in a cage, and it's all supposed to mean something.
Yeah, it's got a lot of Christian iconography.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, this means that this character is living a life of sin, and this means that character is... in doing this, that, and the other, and you have to have an art history degree to know what any
he's
of them
hungry
means.
For pheasant right now because there's a key in his ear.
Yeah, exactly.
Or as we like to call it, a Dan Brown wet dream.
Yeah, so I see all that stuff, and I'm always caught wondering, hey, I wonder what that means, and hey, I wonder what that means, and I just, you know, understand the fact that the amount of research required to suss all that stuff out is just not worth the payoff.
That's right.
Fuck art.
Yeah, art. If you can't tell me right away what's in the box...
Suffice to say, here at Caustic Soda, we thought that there was enough stuff in the Deadly Sins to plumb out a limited series. So we're doing our first pseudo-related topics in relatively short order.
They'll be spread out amongst the next dozen or so.
Yeah, because, we like to throw in some animals and some natural disasters into our
keep it
lineup.
Fresh.
So we brought in Stewie Stewart from Kerberos Productions and ProtonCharging.com.
Yeah, why am I here? Why did you guys pick me?
You were just sitting outside the studio when we got here. So our first episode is Gluttony.
I was going to join in but started laughing.
You should have saved your Doritos until actually recording.
Oh, yeah. We should have all been eating while we were doing our podcast.
Chris Woods should have been our guest.
Latin glutere, meaning to gulp down or swallow. Gula means throat, is the overindulgence and overconsumption of anything to the point of waste. The phobia, as we discussed on the food episode, citophobia is the fear of food or eating. Now, in the Christian religions, it's considered a sin because of the excessive desire for food or its withholding from the needy.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
It's not exactly gluttony as if everybody can eat too much. So maybe. That's why so. America's going where it is right now.
I guess so.
Because they're like, hey, we can all eat 10,000 calories a day.
But medieval church leaders, i.e. Thomas Aquinas, argued that it could also include an obsessive anticipation of meals and the constant eating of delicacies and excessively costly foods. Aquinas went so far as to prepare a list of six ways to commit gluttony, including...
Six ways to commit gluttony. Yeah. That's more than I would have
thought.
Break
it down, Thomas Aquinas. Break it down.
Did he rap it?
Yep. Eating too soon. Eating too expensively. Eating too much.
We're too white.
Eating too eagerly. Also, burningly is in brackets. I'm not sure what that means.
Isn't that that?
But then eating too daintily.
I don't get how that could be part of gluttony.
That sounds like homophobia to me.
Yeah.
And then eating wildly.
Oh, like without forks and knives.
But also in parentheses, boringly.
Boring.
So wildly is also also means, I guess if you're just like, you're not really hungry, you're just snacking all day.
No, you're eating so wildly that like food is flying over your shoulders.
I thought that was too eagerly.
Maybe eagerly is like just happy, just like tee.
Can we get Thomas Aquinas on as a guest?
Yeah.
Cookie Monsterly.
Cookie Monsterly.
Crumbs everywhere. Cookies are just a sometimes food.
That is wildly.
Wastefully.
Yeah, the Cookie Monster was a sinner. A deadly sinner.
Although, he did keep the pounds off by not actually swallowing very much.
That's true. It just went everywhere.
You know what I'd like to be? I'd like to see
that's
the puppeteer.
Purging is probably one of the Thomas Aquinas'...
the puppeteer who worked the Cookie Monster... The cookie
crumbs all in his hair.
Just covered in crumbs constantly. I wonder if he bothered brushing them off after a while.
Or did he make some kind of protective headwear? A crumb-free hat.
Like a sombrero. A sombrero with a lip. So he can snack
it. And then at the end of the day, you just plop it down in the middle of craft services. Yeah.
You crumble it. You crumble it on your...
It's the cookie sombrero. Yay!
Yeah, right after lunch.
So for most of human history, mankind struggled with food scarcity, so obesity has thus historically been viewed as a sign of wealth and prosperity.
Now, I don't want to get all academic on your asses, but are you guys aware that there are opposites?
What do you mean?
The seven deadly sins.
Antitheses?
Oh, there are the seven presumably non-deadly virtues.
The cardinal virtues.
Cardinal virtues.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Lay it on us. What are they?
Can you guys guess the opposite of gluttony?
Pooing.
Not the end of gluttony. The opposite of gluttony.
I'm trying to think of what the medieval term for bulimia would have been.
Feeding everyone around you?
Is it Nutrisystem?
Is it Deal-a-meal?
No. Temperance.
Temperance.
Yeah.
We've done our research.
I love tempering chocolate.
I love tempering steel.
So we could talk about Henry VIII.
Why?
Because he ate 5,000 calories a day.
The calorie counted back
sure
in Henry
that there was a,
day?
I'm sure that there was a... Well, we have information about what he ate and how much of it he ate.
We do?
Yeah.
Like somebody kept track? They wrote shit down like the king.
He's the king. Of course.
Okay. All right. I don't know.
For example, here's some interesting information. Tudor food was based on astrology as much as taste and included elaborate gelatines made of deer antler and even alcoholic spirits flavored with pure gold.
Oh, Goldschlager. Yum. Love it.
Yeah, had it. I'm Henry the Ninth.
U-M.
Henry I love me some Goldschlager.
Usually he would eat a pig or boar with every meal. It was an expression of extreme wealth because only the rich could afford fresh meat year-round. Only the very rich could afford to roast it, since this required much more fuel than boiling. Mm. And only the super wealthy could pay a spit boy to turn the spit all day. And as a spit boy, Tony Robinson on his TV series Worst Jobs in History got to basically be a spit boy for as long as he could endure it.
A spit boy is the worst job in history?
Well, you have to stand right next to the fire.
You kind of get roasted all by yourself.
Yeah, you kind of get roasted by yourself. Yeah, nice.
Wow.
Yeah, we take care of that with tech now.
That's almost as bad as cabin
boy. We just had a little electric motor just turning it really slowly.
In a typical year, the royal kitchen served 1,240 oxen, 8,200 sheep, 2,300 deer, 760 calves, 1,800 pigs, and 53 wild boar. That's more than 14,000 large animals, meaning each member of the court was consuming about 23 animals every year.
That's probably what we do these days.
Two whole animals? Like, I don't think I eat a whole cow in a month.
Yeah, two whole deer, like...
Like, a cow is like 800 to 1,000 pounds or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah,
you know?
I take it back.
Think about that. Right.
I'm pretty sure we go through two whole chickens a year at least, but...
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten roasted swan?
No, but no. I want to now that I know it's a thing.
It was a treat reserved for special occasions because swans were regarded as too noble and dignified for everyday consumption. The bird was often presented at the table with a gold crown upon its head. To this day, English law stipulates that all mute swans are owned by the crown and may not be eaten without permission from the queen.
A mute swan?
Yeah. Do they have a form for that?
Swan requisition form for eating.
Yeah.
And a little crown to go with it.
SW-302/B.
Also grilled beaver tails. These tasty morsels were particularly popular on Fridays when, according to Christian tradition, it was forbidden to eat meat. Rather conveniently, medieval people classified beavers as fish.
Convenient.
It's kind of like...
I was so tempted to
just Most Chinese restaurants also...
Consider them dragons.
Dragons, not meat.
Canadian dragons.
Whole roasted peacock, served dressed in its own iridescent blue feathers.
I just want to point out that we had two dishes, one which had beaver and tail in it simultaneously, and the other one which now has cock in it.
Fair enough. Can you find some way to make black pudding dirty?
Oh, yeah, pudding. Once you go black, you never go back.
In pudding style. of course, everyone knows this is still served in parts of England. It's a sausage made by filling a length of pig's intestines with the animal's boiled, congealed blood.
Has anybody here had blood sausage besides myself?
Yes.
I have had blood sausage twice. And the first time I had it, I went, oh, my God, that's so disgusting. I will never have that again. And then I was in another situation where they were serving blood sausage. And I said, I had it one time and it was gross and I will never have it again. They went, oh, you must have had the bad kind. This blood sausage.
You must have had the gray pudding. This is the black pudding.
Yeah, the blood sausage is tasty as all hell. You must have just had a bad blood sausage. And then I was conned into trying it again. And it was just as bad the second time as it was the first time.
Wow. Like
it was
Stewie, how was it for you? Did you?
Bleh.
Bleh. Yeah.
Bleh.
Okay.
It's eating
congealed blood.
That's my vampire noise. Bleh.
It's like eating the world's largest scab.
The world's largest scab.
That's what... Blood sausage.
Dwell on that, listeners.
And actually, I was just in Slovakia last week, and they tried to serve me blood sausage again, and I was not to be fooled thrice.
Speaking of words that end in rice.
Wait, I don't know.
I'm just going to write down world's largest scab here. The last item on my list is one notable dish, a cockatrice. was created by sewing half a chicken onto half a pig.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
Fantastic. This is like the early turducken.
Yeah, this is the medieval version of turducken, obviously.
But don't look directly in the eyes. It'll turn you to stone.
If we made it today, we'd call it a pickin?
A pickin.
Oh, yeah.
Or a chig.
Chig.
I think pickin's more appetizing.
Yeah.
Some chig. Thank you.
How about a porkin?
Sounds like a racial slur.
So they cut it in half and then sewed the two animals together?
Yeah.
And then cooked that?
I don't know if they cooked them before or after. That's what the first thing I'm going to do when I get my time machine out.
I think you got to cook it before, or sew it together before you cook it. Like, you try and sew together cooked meat.
But don't think different animals cook at different temperatures and times?
I was about to say, that's some cooking alchemy lost to the ages, apparently.
Yeah.
If they slow roasted it, I don't think it matters that much. You know, if you have a low heat and you just do it for a long, long time, right, it'll just cook through and won't get too bad.
Like, cook it over coals instead of open flame, yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
What are there some other famous gluttons in history?
Peter Pumpkin Eater?
he's historical.
I got Zachary Taylor, one of the lesser-known American presidents, perhaps most important for sharing his name with the original Black Power Ranger.
That's what he's most famous for?
That's according to the internet. 16 months after his election to the 12th president of the United States, was enjoying a 4th of July celebration in the Capitol where he ate copious amounts of iced milk and cherries.
Okay.
It was a very hot summer's day, and the huge amount of fresh dairy and fruit he consumed obviously don't agree with him. He grew ill later that night and died 5 days later.
Well,
the official cause of death was gastroenteritis.
Yeah. Think of dying by food poisoning. What a way to go. Wait, what's gastroenteritis?
I'm looking at a picture of him. It doesn't look like he did it that often. Not like Taft. Do you guys know who Taft was? He's the fattest president.
Oh, was he the fattest president? Really?
When he died, he was 300 pounds.
Taft. Yeah, I can dig it.
Taft! And,
that man is one fat mother.
Hush your mouth.
Just talking about Taft.
Gastroenteritis.
Stomach flu.
Yeah, it is food poisoning.
Transferred by contact with contaminated food and water.
Yeah, bacteria, transferred toxins, by parasites, or an adverse reaction to something in the diet. It's food poisoning. Kills 5,000 to 8,000 people a year. Basically the deadliest of all food poisonings.
Yeah, gastric flu or stomach flu, though it's not actually related to influenza.
And it killed a president.
Do you know who the king who ate himself to death is?
What his name is?
Anything about it. I'll take anything on this topic.
His Majesty.
Was that Adolf Frederick?
Yes, that's right.
What?
Cheater.
Wow. Wow, that is a full-on cheat, no doubt about it.
He's the king of Sweden from 1751 to 1771. 20 years after taking the throne, he had an extravagant meal in which he ate numerous servings of lobster, caviar, sauerkraut, kippers, and champagne. But he was saving room for his favorite dessert, semla.
What is semla?
What is that?
Semla traditionally is just a plain bread bun eaten in a bowl of warm milk. He had 14 servings of semla.
14 servings of semla?
And died later that night.
Well, of course. You can't have 14 servings of anything and live.
What about
everybody raised their hand who had 14 servings of something in a single sitting.
Is a piece of pizza a serving?
No.
Okay.
No, he had 14 pizzas.
Let's say a serving of pizza is two pieces.
So 14.
That would make
servings.
It about 7,000 calories. If it was that much pizza.
I don't know if I've eaten 14 pieces of pizza in one sitting.
A slice of pizza is about 250 calories.
I've certainly eaten 10 to 11 slices of pizza in there.
I've got a gluttony anecdote.
Depends on the size of the pizza, though.
Anybody want to hear my gluttony anecdote?
Large. No, none of us want to hear your gluttony anecdote.
I do.
Moving on.
That's too bad. I'm telling it.
Let's hear it, baby.
I don't know if this is worldwide, but here in Vancouver, Pizza Hut for years and years and years had an all-you-can-eat special. Tuesday nights. Back in the 90s, it was $4.99 all-you-can-eat pizza.
Yeah.
But the secret was you couldn't get thin crust. You had to get the pan pizza with the super extra thick crust.
Oh, otherwise right? It would be like cheating.
Yeah. So we would go practically every week.
It would not be cost-effective.
No, exactly.
Pizza Hut.
We figured you couldn't eat much cheaper than that. You know, being a bunch of college students, we're always watching the bottom dollar so we could afford more beer. And one of the guys who lived in the other house in the same complex, residence complex at UBC, his nickname was Sweet Pea. He came back.
Sure it was.
He came back one week and said that he'd eaten 21 slices of pizza at the all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut. So he had the record. So
Does he get a picture up on the wall?
No, it was an unofficial record, but it was
his own record.
It was more for the residence house than it was for anything else. Nobody else had come close to 21 slices. So we went down there the very next week, and we were kind of chomping away. And my roommate, Davey, had
his name was Sweat Pea?
It was after this.
After the fact. Davey. We noticed
what was your nickname?
In university? buzz.
Because of your dancing style?
No, it was the fact I was in the army and had a buzz cut.
Okay.
So, Davey, we noticed he'd been quite casually socking away pizzas at an incredible rate, and we asked him how many he'd powered back, and he came up with a number 14 without breaking a sweat. So we thought, you could do it. You could do it, Davey. You could go for the record, right? And he goes, oh, no. Okay, we'll go for it. Now, he only managed, I guess it all kind of hit the gastrointestinal tract soon after that because he made it up to 17 and he had to quit. So we got back, and it soon came to light that Sweet Pea, to get to his 21 record, didn't eat the crust.
Oh.
He ate merely the meaty and tomato saucy part.
Oh, the good part.
So
yeah.
Then the question is, what is a bigger feat? 21 slices, no crust, 17 slices, every single little bit.
Yeah.
And with the deep pan pizza, it's got to be the 17. So it was hotly debated.
Oh, I see.
Who had the victory? Now, Davey didn't
and
eat
to
another,
this day.
Davey didn't eat another slice of pizza for like 5 years, and he like laid on the couch and groaned for 3 days. But
I think that all you can eat is probably like the number one biggest gluttony thing about
modern society.
Yeah. Being poor and hungry, I used to love all you can eat.
What have you got for science?
One is in sheep, there's a disease called overeating disease, which is enterotoxemia. I tried to look up.
Also known as pulpy kidney?
Yeah, also known as pulpy kidney disease. Apparently, it's quite common, although you don't see the effects of it that much, because what it is it's an infection in the
kidney? Why was it being called pulpy kidney disease?
It's an infection by the bacterium Clostridium perfringens, and normally it sits just fine in the intestinal tract of the sheep, and as the sheep eats, it eats some of the food as it passes by. Reproduces a little bit, but dies off just as it normally would, and then its waste products just keep going down, and the sheep gets rid of it. However, if the sheep ends up eating too much food or eats food too quickly, especially very condensed food that we humans can give them rather than just grazing, too much food can get down. The bacteria will just devour as much of it as it can, breed to a huge population, release tons of toxins, and the animal will die.
Well, that's sad.
So the sheep die because they eat too much. I got this because I was trying to find out. You always hear about, that animal will eat until it dies, or this animal will eat until its stomach bursts, or something like that. And I actually could not find very much information on animals doing that, with a few exceptions. One is, again, animals like this who are used to grazing, who are then given very concentrated food. Horses will do this if you give them like a huge pile of concentrated like pellets rather than hay. They can just eat too much. The same is true of, fish will eat until they die.
Yeah, goldfish especially, right?
Well, they say that, but that tends to only be true of goldfish if you give them concentrated food. But if you just give them the flakes and stuff, they'll eat and then stop.
That's a gluttony myth?
Semi-myth.
So don't pour molasses into your goldfish bowl.
It does happen, but it's very rare. It's not. You can't just say, those animals will eat until they die.
What is it? I heard the Wolverine doesn't know how to stop eating. As long as there's food available, it will eat it.
He's the best he is at what he does?
Yeah.
And what he does is eat pizza?
That's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Oh, TMNT Wolverine crossover.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles had the foot ninjas. Which was a reference to That's Wolverine's right. hand ninjas. And now you know.
All right, the Wolverine debate.
The comic book Wolverine is the one that comes up in the first
He can eat as much as he wants. He's got a mutant metabolism.
He could get gastroenteritis
and
heal
it. He wants.
Gastroenteritis and heal it instantly.
His stomach could just split right open and he'd heal it.
Yeah.
And you could just pull the food out.
He just stabs himself in the gut with his claws. That's his purging.
Yeah.
Just cut right to the chase.
I guess, yeah. I mean, you've got these stories of these Roman vomitoriums, right? You eat and eat and eat until you can't eat no more, and then you vomit it all up, and then you go back to eating again.
It's that Metallica song, Vomitorium. You remember that one, don't you?
I'm pretty sure that's not the name of that song. You know what that always kind of blew my mind about the vomitorium? They got to have separate rooms, right? They got to have the vomit room and the eating room. You don't think they actually vomited and ate in the same room.
Well, they get wheeled out like from Futurama. What's his name?
Hedonism Bot.
Hedonism Bot.
I don't get nothing.
Going back to Tony Robbins, they didn't leave. They just leaned over. Blah, and it was one of the worst jobs in history was the guy who had to run around mopping it up.
I think it'd be just as hard to try and eat again after having vomited right next to where you were eating.
It's probably a skill that you could learn,
At schools.
I guess at that stage of the game, it's about the excess, right? It's schools. Yeah.
I have more science.
Okay, bring it on.
Pika.
Pikachu?
Or pika. Yes, that's what I can...
Pika.
It's a medical disorder. Abnormal appetites.
Mm.
So, for example, you guys brought one up in your poo episode.
Oh, yeah.
Coprophagia. Mm. And mostly the medical condition seems to be related, you know, when you're like, I have a real craving for XYZ. Mm. It's related to your body going, you don't have enough of this. Go get some.
Right.
But when it relates to things like minerals, etc., you end up with weird appetites.
Mm. It's like pregnant.
Strange. Coprophagy. You guys know that one. Mm-hmm. Geophagy.
Eating of
dirt.
Minerals.
Soil, clay, or chalk. Halophagia.
Eating of Jesus' head.
Hylophagia, I guess, is how it's pronounced properly. It's H-Y-A-L-O-phagia.
Hylophagia. I'm going to go with eating the head and the toes of whatever animal you're eating.
No.
Because it's the high part and the low part?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's glass.
Oh. Glass?
Yeah.
Eating glass.
Don't do that.
No, that doesn't sound like fun at all.
Oh, this is perfectly suited for
you
guys.
I saw Jim Rose eat glass.
Actually, it's, you know, it sounds like that sounds like the kind of thing that is not so much fun to do it going in, but way less fun coming out.
Speaking of Jim Rose and eating, Torin, didn't you drink some of his stomach acid?
I drank the bile, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a show, and he drank beer and bugs and whatever else, and then he vomited back up.
Didn't he pump his own stomach or something?
Yeah, he pumped his own stomach into a
glass.
Into a, like a pitcher, a beer pitcher.
And you drank some.
And then he said, who from the audience will...
Swill.
Drink some of this.
My bile.
Some of the bile.
Torin just puts his hand up and runs right forward.
I was young at the time, you know.
So wait.
I had something to prove.
Now I gotta know. What does stomach bile taste like?
It tastes mostly like stale beer.
Yeah. Because he drank some beer.
Yeah. I didn't really taste anything else.
The Jim Rose Circus Sideshow. He ate all sorts of stuff. It was a good show.
Oh, I've seen the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow.
He was on X-Files.
Episode Humbug, Season 2.
Oh. Who needs Wikipedia? Dun,
dun, dun, so what other phages got? Clownophagia, eating clowns?
Mucophagia.
Eating snot?
Yep, pretty much.
Love it.
Let's see.
I can't stop.
Europhagia?
Eating money.
Eating European
money.
Urine.
Oh, that euro.
Oh.
That should have been...
Not with an E at the beginning.
Yeah. The silent.
Wouldn't that be drinking, or do they dry it out first and make it in a little
crystals? It just falls under the category of consumption.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just have to pee on whatever you're going to eat.
Yeah, it's like a sauce. It's like au jus.
This needs some salt.
Pagophagia. This is my favorite.
It's eating dots until you eat a big one, and then you can eat ghosts.
Pago.
Waka, 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 waka. No, it's the pathological consumption of ice.
Oh.
Ice. Mm. Weird.
Gluttons. Ice gluttons.
And they have a whole bunch for like hair and wool, wood and paper, consumption of soap, you name it. There is an abnormal desire to eat all manner of things.
Well, before we hit the break, I got to talk about vorarephilia, V-O-R-A-R-E-philia, which is a sexual fetish where arousal occurs from the idea of being eaten or by the process of eating.
Way back in the cannibalism episode about that German guy who put an ad on Craigslist to force somebody to come over and be eaten, and somebody actually answered the ad.
He was a glutton.
Mm.
Yeah, he was.
He just couldn't get enough people to eat.
Well, he tried to get the
he
guy
just
to
ate
eat
until
own,
he was arrested.
He tried to get the guy to eat his own penis, but if I remember correctly, he couldn't manage it because of the loss of blood. He was too weak to chew his own penis.
Penophilia. Penophagia.
Penophagia.
Yeah. Dickophagia.
Here's a silly ditty. You can sing it right away. Now here is what you say. So sing it while you may. Here's a silly jingle. You can sing it night or noon. Here's the words, that's all you need, cause I just sang the tune. Oh, I don't want him, you can have him, he's too fat for me. He's too fat for me, he's too fat for me. I don't want him, you can have him, please do that for me. He's too fat, he's too fat, he's too fat for me. I get dizzy, I get numbo when I'm dancing with my jum, jum, jumbo. I don't want him, you can have him, he's too fat for me. He's too fat for me, he's too fat for me. I don't want him, you can have him, he's too fat for me. He's too fat, he's too fat, he's too fat for me. Can he prance up a hill? No, 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 no. Can he dance a quadrille? No, 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 no. Does he fit in my coupe? By himself he's a group. Could he possibly sit upon her knee? No, no, no. Oh, I don't want him, you can have him. He's too fat for me. He's too fat for me. He's too fat for me.
In the news.
Oh my God, we had three.
There's not too much gluttony in the news, except that there was a little news story about competitive eating.
Oh, I love me some competitive eating.
Which we discussed in length
at
on the food episode at causticsodapodcast.com.
Is this about Mr. Kobayashi?
What do you got, Mr. Kobayashi? You got some?
Takeru Kobayashi, he's one of the world champion eaters.
Yeah.
And he got arrested for causing, he crashed some sort of 4th of July thing. I didn't realize this, but basically.
It was the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Yeah, because he's in a contract dispute with the Competitive Eating League in America. And so they told him to stay away from the Nathan's hot dog eating contest this year, and he crashed it.
See, the first stories I read, they made it sound like it had something to do with when you win too many records, like many leagues, they feel that's boring for viewers.
Right.
So they just go, well, you're the best. You can't enter anymore.
No.
But I didn't realize it was a contract thing.
No, it's a full-on contract dispute.
He had signed some kind of exclusive deal with a different eating league.
Yeah, but he figured it was because that one was in Asia or something, so he didn't think that they
stepped on each other,
that there was any crossover problems.
And from what I read is he showed up, watched it, the other guy won, but then people in the crowds saw him and started chanting his name, so he just went up to wave to the crowd, and security jumped him and
took him down. Yeah, he went to like get up on stage and they tackled him.
Yeah.
Nice. This little, he barfed.
155-pound Japanese man.
Don't make me eat you.
Yeah, he ate his way to freedom.
I got a couple. September 13th, 2010, competitive eater Joey Chestnut, also known as Jaws, downed 47 burritos in 10 minutes at the New Mexico State Fair in Albuquerque, beating the previous record of 33.5.
Ooh, crushed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Joey Chestnut, man, that guy can eat. He's got like an unhinged jaw or something.
He's a boa constrictor. He's got a boa constrictor inside of him.
Yeah.
First he ate the boa constrictor. That's all he had to do. Boa constrictor takes care of the rest.
I love that.
September 16th, several of the world's top competitive eaters descended upon the Isle of Capri in Pompano Beach last weekend to see who could eat the most sour dill pickles. Before the event, the record was 2.99 pounds of pickles in 6 minutes. At least six people bested that number, with Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti taking first with 5 pounds. When the powerful vinegary scent hit the audience, several people had to back away. Contestants had cups of water and Gatorade to help mitigate the effect of all the salt, but in the 90-degree heat, things got uncomfortable. And then they list a few other records, just in competitive eating, that we may not have talked about on the other
food episode.
3 pounds of haggis in 8 minutes in October 2008 by Eric Livingston. 17.7 pounds of cow brains in 15 minutes by Kobayashi.
Wow.
He ate
17.7 pounds of cow brains.
Of anything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It could have been of like the greatest thing in the world. Could have been 17 pounds of...
hot woman. I could not...
Yeah, that's pretty unconscionable, 17 pounds.
And then my favorite is 4 32-ounce bowls, which is 1 gallon of mayonnaise in 8 minutes.
Whoa.
By Oleg Zornitsky.
That is the...
I actually had a physical reaction.
That is the definition of a Pyrrhic victory.
I actually had that physical reaction. Like I've never done that on the show where I've actually, but that when you said that mayonnaise,
I have more.
Mayonnaise. Bring it on.
Should I just keep going?
Oh, sure.
24-inch pizza, 7 1/2 extra large bocce pizza slices, 15 minutes.
Okay.
In 2005.
Right. 7 1/2 pizzas, right. 15 minutes.
I can do that.
Yeah. Sounds like something that's doable.
16-inch pizza, 47 slices in 10 minuts. That's a
47 slices. Wait, how many? 16?
16
is this diameter?
16 inches is like a large pizza.
Yeah, so a large pizza.
Yeah, wow.
And how many slices to a pizza in that? Like, is that
like 8, 10?
So like two.
Probably 10. Let's say 10.
Okay, so we're saying one and a half large pizzas.
Saying four
47
pizzas.
Slices. That's 47
slices. Oh,
well, they actually distinguish 47 slices big apple pizza. I don't know if that means it's like those you know, 1/6 size, big pieces. I don't know.
Well, it's not delivery, it's Delicio.
A 22-ounce sports Slurpee. A lot of these foods actually are, the competitions are put on by the
people.
Well, of course they are.
A 22-ounce, so that the biggest sports Slurpee, like those big honking ones, 9 seconds.
What?
Yeah. 9 seconds.
What?
Those are the guys who can just open their throats up. Yeah. They just, and no gag reflex.
Imagine the brain freeze on that guy.
Joey Chestnut, April 26, 2008, 8.8 pounds of tempura deep-fried asparagus spears in 10 minutes.
Deep-fried asparagus.
You know, here's the thing.
He was really drunk at the time? Oh, I got the munchies, man. Oh, there's a competitive eating contest.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe he's just the world's greatest. Maybe he's the world's greatest stoner, right? So are we going to do Lesser of Two Evils? Oh. Eat yourself to death?
Okay, well, how about let's go with mayonnaise since it's most disgusting.
Oh.
You have to eat yourself to death with mayonnaise.
Or?
Be eaten to death by an anaconda. Would you rather be eaten to death or eat yourself to death with mayonnaise?
Oh, I mean, because you can imagine if you eat enough mayonnaise to die.
It's too bad we haven't done our drowning episode yet, because then we could say you either eat yourself to death in mayonnaise or drown in mayonnaise.
I think they're pretty similar, though.
Yeah, because you would try and eat your way out, and that's how you would die. Eat yourself to death with mayonnaise or be eaten to death. Yeah, I can imagine the kind of throes of agony that you would be in the process of eating yourself to death with mayonnaise. Ugh. I'm going to go with being eaten to death because it's going to crush you. It's a boa constrictor we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
He will crush you to death before he actually consumes you, right? So you'll be dead in, what's the maximum time it takes him to crush you to death? A half an hour to an hour? Whereas eating yourself to death with mayonnaise, it actually won't be the actual mayonnaise. You'll get, gastroenteritis, and you'll die, writhing in agony in your deathbed, 3 days later.
Yeah.
So
it's prolonged.
I'm going with being eaten to death. Without it, it's not even close.
And another thing is, one, you can imagine that you can't help it. You can't get out of it. You have no choice. The anaconda's around you and, crushing you and you're, this is terrible. And the other one, why would I not stop?
Somebody's got a gun to your head.
I'll take the bullet.
No, you either eat yourself to death with mayonnaise or you have to eat mayonnaise and fish.
They couldn't force me to do either.
They just stick a tube down your nose, Joe, and pump it straight in your stomach.
Whatever they think they're trying to, they're forcing.
It's like that episode in The Simpsons where the guy is in hell and he's strapped down and he's feeding them all. Homer's being fed all the donuts. So you're basically strapped down and they're feeding you mayonnaise.
Okay. So there we go. Wow. This is the toughest one we've had.
And also, it's magic mayonnaise.
What does that even mean?
That means you can't just drown in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course.
You have to eat.
You know what this would be? This would be the closest thing that a human could do to approximate fattening a goose for his liver.
Man, I think I have to go with the being eaten, and that is just a horrifying prospect. Wow, that is how bad eating mayo is, that much. And here's the thing. I like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I put it on stuff.
I just can't imagine.
I put it on lots of stuff. Yeah, I like mayonnaise. I mean, I'll put mayonnaise in anything. I'll dip things in mayonnaise.
I'd like to think that perhaps with the anaconda, there's at least a vague chance I can fight back. You can't fight mayonnaise.
That's right.
You can't fight mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise will always win.
But then I think about how anacondas, they crush you, and then you're maybe still alive, and then they eat you whole. That's pretty horrible to just have to sit through. So
yeah, but mayonnaise.
No, let's go with the anaconda, I guess.
Yeah, this is
it's a 1% chance, perhaps even less, that you can stupidly tell yourself, punch it in the head or whatever. You can't punch mayonnaise. So
I'm going to say eaten alive.
Yeah. This is universal. The prospect of.
Because at least I'm giving back to the environment, you know?
Oh, you're contributing to the circle of life.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. As opposed to just helping Hellman's out.
A fat mayonnaise and receptacle.
It also kind of be like being hugged to death, you know? Oh, he likes me so much he wants to hug
me
in
his insides.
He
wants to sneak me into the theater.
This feels delightful.
All right.
I feel so loved.
My mother never hugged me.
Movies. Movie time.
All right. Well,
did anybody see Fat Albert?
The live action remake or the original cartoon?
I did.
The movies.
I did not see the live action.
I saw it.
How did it go?
It was pretty good.
Was there any gluttony, or he was just a fat guy that came out of the TV and did some stuff?
Just a fat guy that came out of the TV and did stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same with the cartoon. You never saw Fat Albert, pointing up to, Uncle Willie's buffet and just downing everything in sight.
Yeah, not like that Archie.
Yeah, it was Jughead.
Jughead.
Yeah.
It was genetic. Poor Fat Albert.
Best part of the whole movie is when he went to meet Bill Cosby, and Bill Cosby had, kind of a momentary psychotic break.
I need to know more about this. What did he do? Did he stab him in the eye with a pencil?
The whole premise is that the characters get out of the TV into the real world. So then it turns into a, hey, they're kind of hokey 70s inner city, everybody be nice to each other message from the kids show is kind of conflicting with the reality of today until they teach kids something about, you know, the new kids with their hippin' and their hoppin'.
Yeah.
And at one point goes, because they're all aware that Bill Cosby created them, they go to Bill Cosby's house and opens the door, and Bill Cosby just has like kind of a synaptic short.
He does the Bill Cosby one eye half closed.
I got Monty Python, Meaning of Life.
Mr. Yeah. Creosote.
Creosote. You know, I never understood why they called him Mr. Creosote. And then in researching this podcast, I went, I want to know why they call him Mr. Creosote.
Yeah, yeah.
And creosote is a product that can be used as an expectorant.
Oh.
And so that's why they call him Mr. Creosote. It would be just like calling him, Mr. Ipecac.
What was the vomit made of? Who knows?
Cream corn.
A mixture of ground potatoes with water and other coarse vegetable materials.
Ugh. Potato, cauliflower, et cetera, et cetera. On the same vein, I have another movie reference.
Yeah.
All right.
Stand By Me.
Oh, the Barfarama.
Yeah, the pie-eating contest where the fat kid who was always tormented made himself throw up on purpose so that he turned the county fair into a giant Barfarama.
In reading the...
Because it was the competitive eating contest.
Yeah.
In reading the Major League Eating website, there is a blueberry pie-eating contest, and it is referenced as Stand By Me. For some reason, like I just need to think, given the pukey ending,
spoiler alert, that they would have distanced themselves
but it's
one of those scenes that you wonder why it's in the movie, but you'll never forget it
ever.
It's great because it's like a kid's story.
Yeah, well, right?
He's telling the story. They don't actually see it. So he blows it up even bigger than it probably was.
Yeah, it's like the first example of urban myth, right? And I guess that it kind of like alludes to sort of the alienation that a lot of these other kids feel and all that stuff. It gets correct thematically.
I got Augustus Gloop from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Of course you do.
He's the one who falls into the chocolate.
He falls into the tube of some kind of a chocolate tube or something.
Stuck his face in the chocolate river.
The fat German kid. The one that they patterned the little German kid in the Simpsons.
Don't make me run! I'm full of chocolate!
Uder.
Uder,
yeah.
One might say eating Uder right now.
Uder Braten.
Okay, 7.
Oh, yeah, 7, of course.
Well, now, the gluttony section.
That was the gross scene, man.
That was the first. Well, that was the first one that they...
They found the fat guy tied to the chair, who they forced him to eat until his stomach exploded.
This is the situation that you were posited. You have to eat mayonnaise, and you have a gun to your head, and you'd say you'd take the bullet.
I'd take the bullet, man.
Yeah.
But not this guy.
No, not this guy.
They weren't feeding him mayonnaise. Like,
no, they're feeding him spaghetti.
If they're feeding him, like, spaghetti and yummy food and stuff, I would wait until I'm rescued, yeah. But just mayonnaise, like... Once it's past a few, like, let's say, I could probably willpower through several large tablespoons, and then after that, I'd just be like, nah, okay, shoot me.
I seem to recall the most horrific part in 7 with that victim was that they found that he didn't eat himself to death, rather he ate and ate and ate, and then the villain kicked him, I seem to recall, what killed him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He overate to excess, and then at the point of bursting, he just pushed him over the edge.
A solid blow,
which seemed to me
belly.
Like to be the
Well, because you had to add the brutality to it, right?
Yeah.
Like it had to turn into a murder, right? You know, it makes perfect sense, like within the context of the film. But yeah, I mean, every single sin and the method is the brutality is what really puts it over the top. That just makes it stick with you, right? I'm thinking about that movie now, and I'm like, oh god, I'm reliving it. I'm like having post traumatic stress disorder, starting to get my skin's beginning to crawl.
Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. He's the glutton. He's the gluttony ghost.
And not only that, but it's pretty much a given in various interviews, etc., and the commentary track on the DVD that the cast and crew accepted it as a small little homage to John Belushi.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Who they wanted to be
one of
the Ghostbusters.
He was supposed to be in the movie. He was written with him in mind.
Yeah.
And then he died about 2 years, 82?
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years – well, no, basically a year before filming began. And so this character was unofficially –
the ghost of John Belushi.
John Belushi, who was in his own way I don't know that he was necessary.
He was very physically active, so I think he would have had to eat quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
To gain weight on top of that.
He was kind of a bigger guy, but I don't know that he's necessarily glutton except in his drug use kind of guy.
Yeah, well, that's gluttonous.
I guess that's gluttony, but his reputation is food and drink because of
Animal House.
Guess what I am right now.
Zit.
Yeah, and Slimer can just keep eating and eating and...
Because it just falls through.
Yeah. Disgusting blob.
And he became a sort of main character in the animated series.
And later on, as an extremely gluttonous character.
Speaking of cartoons, Friar Tuck from Rocket Robin Hood.
Yes. Wow, it's been a long time.
He's always eating that chicken leg.
Yeah, the chicken leg and the apple and the grapes.
But just one bite.
Yeah, and then throws the rest.
Yeah, that's pure gluttony, baby. Yeah, that's like the 3 out of the 6 Thomas Aquinas ways to be a glutton right there.
Exactly. And is anyone familiar with Mighty Orbots, the cartoon?
No.
No.
What's one of those cartoons from the 80s where there's like...
That only you like?
That's right.
There's about 4,000 of those.
It was one of those... It was in that time when the animation was amazing for Saturday morning cartoons because it was all done in Japan.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But most of the stories were terrible.
Anything that started with Mighty or ended with Bot was typically done in Japan, right?
But that was actually pretty good, all things considered. And one of the robots, because it was like 5 robots that merged to form a super robot.
Oh, imagine that. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. Was Crunch. And he was a fat robot, and he would just eat anything. Like, he'd eat metal and rocks. And
Of course.
He was a source of comic relief. He was a chubby robot.
He reminds me of Matter Eater Lad.
Oh, from the Legion of Substitute Heroes?
He's from the Legion of Superheroes, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from the far-flung future. He possesses the power to eat matter in all forms, as do all natives of his home planet, Bismol.
Oh, Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol.
Also, another comic book character would be the Blob.
From the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Now, does the Blob eat a lot? Because I don't remember him eating. I was a big Marvel reader, and X-Men specifically, when I was younger. And I just remembered him just being fat and never really seeing him pig out and eat.
Well, because they don't show you back at headquarters where he obviously has 20,000 calories. Like, they just show him doing evil stuff.
Right, but you would expect that if it was because he ate a lot, that he would be walking around with that chicken leg.
It depends on who the writers are. Get it.
He needs both hands free to commit evil. And not just like the evil kind of evil that you do when you go to an all-you-can-eat and you're like a 800-pound dude and you eat them out of house and home. I mean, that's a different kind of evil.
And then you dine and dash to add insult to injury.
Yeah, and dine and dash on top of it.
It depends on the writer. Depending on who wrote him, it was either never explained or it was kind of suggested that it was perhaps dude eating or whatever. But most recently in the comics, they had some sort of mutant cataclysm where a lot of them lost their powers, all but a small fraction of the ones in the Marvel Universe. Mm. And he shows up at one point, and it's like one of those...
He's not a blob anymore?
No, he was one of the people that lost his power. And in losing his power, he lost his bulk, but not his skin. He's like those people with the gastric bypass surgery that end up with
the loose skin.
The loose skin, yeah. So there was a suggestion that his mutant power was holding on to actual... stored energy.
It had nothing to do with eating.
Per se.
So
but in the movie, the Wolverine movie, he was definitely portrayed as a
glutton. Yes.
I've tried to not remember that. But now that reminds me of, speaking of the loose skin, Fat Bastard.
Oh, of course.
From the Austin Powers movies. He's definitely seen eating a lot.
I put your baby in my belly.
Garfield.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That cat loves lasagna.
He likes his lasagna. It's true.
And Cookie Monster, of course, as we discussed.
If I could briefly mention my comic series Outnumbered through the Critical Hit Comics banner.
Yeah.
We have a character named Discombobulator, Disco to his friends.
Yeah.
And he can eat any solid matter, break it down to its component parts, recombinate it into a new compound. Now, the only problem is he only has one delivery system, and that's regurgitation. He has puke power. That's correct.
Does it come out as like an attacking stream of vomit, high velocity?
Yes, he can. He can vomit up pure stomach acid, which he uses as an offensive weapon.
Nice.
Yeah. But wasn't there also a scene where somebody was injured and he puked up like a
healing salve?
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. As well as his patented unbreakable gut glue.
So he's like the gastric version of Firestorm.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Do you want me to say Molecule Man? Is that better?
Yeah, Molecule Man. We'll go with that. Sure. That's fine. So, yeah, Discombobulator. Check it out, criticalhitcomics.com.
I will. Oh, I already have, actually.
Yeah.
Man versus Food. Has anyone seen this series?
I have. I love that series.
It's basically this guy who goes around and takes up the challenge to eat as much as he possibly can in these restaurants he goes to?
Well, there are thousands of restaurants in America that have these things that it's like, oh, we do this thing and nobody can eat it. If you can eat it, you eat it for free.
Right.
And so he goes and does all these things. Now, every episode, he goes to a city and he goes to like four or five different restaurants, but he ends the episode by going to the one restaurant that has the contest. So he'll go to, you know, some of the grill that has like the best burgers in town. He'll go somewhere else that does the craziest fried chicken, and go to these other places that do these giant ice cream sundaes. But then he ends with the challenge. And it's not always a volume thing. I've seen a lot of them where it's actually just like atomic nuclear spicy.
Right.
Like he went to a sushi place and they had these spicy tuna cones.
Right.
And he just had to eat 10 of them. But every single one was a had a different heat rating of 1 through 10. So you start with the number 1 and you work your way up to number 10. He finished that, and he does pretty good. He finishes more than he doesn't finish, but I've seen him beaten. I saw him beaten by a plate of hot wing just last week.
Oh, beaten by a plate of hot wings. Yeah. Defeated.
Yeah. It reminds me, there's a similarly titled British series. It's kind of documentary-esque, where each episode is a person who's addicted to something. Like, so going back to Garfield and Cookie Monster, these are like mono gluttons, like people that just...
They eat one thing.
Eat nothing but pizza or chips or whatever. Like, it's...
Really?
It's right up there with, like, that Hoarders show. I have a tough time watching that Hoarders.
Why, you see a little too much of
yourself?
Because
you have so many toys?
No, it's just that's it's really, like, I'm not comfortable with the reality TV shows that let's stare at this poor person an hour. I have a real tough time with those.
Well, except for the fact that the point of the show is that they then hire these therapists and organizers to go into the homes and try and straighten their shit out. So,
which is great, and I mean, I guess that's getting them help, but at the same time, and meanwhile, at home, they have to embarrass themselves horribly in front of the nation in order to do it.
It's exploitative.
Yeah.
We've skipped somebody who may be a little important.
Jabba the Hutt. What a fat slug.
He was.
I mean, he is a fat slug, but all he did was eat a couple of frogs. It wasn't exactly a gluttonous. And when we saw him, like, in his younger version, he was way thinner.
I would say he's casually.
It's true.
he's just munching.
He was guilty of St. Thomas Aquinas's boringly eating.
That's right. Yeah. Just eating mindlessly some living creatures.
Very special thanks to Chris Stewart for joining us here today.
Hey, thanks, Dewey.
Yay.
A very special episode.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you on the internet at Kerberos. What is it?
Kerberos-productions.com.
Torrance, fuck you!